Hello and welcome, Banter on the Rocks listeners. You can find every one of our weekly episodes on Apple Podcast and YouTube. Grab your favorite drink and enjoy the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to Banter on the Rocks. We got Tim here. We got John Pena, myself. Today's, episode show. We don't have a guest. It's gonna happen every now and then. But this week, we're gonna discuss a little bit of NFL. Some of the prop bets we do, fantasy, and then we're also just gonna talk a little bit about the future of this podcast. What made us go come into podcasting a little bit more, go more into details, and have you guys get to know us a little bit more? The last two shows we've had Fat Boy and Robin, we've gotten to know them, their likes, some of the stories. So we'll talk a little bit about ourselves. Have you guys get to know us on this journey we're starting?
No, I like John said, I'm super excited to, kind of have this first little format of just John and I here. I think it's a great kind of beginning episode to kind of describe each other a little bit more in depth too, and then the future of the podcast. I think that it's, John did a great job presenting it there. It's just to kind of get a feel for things also. But jump right into drinks of the evening as well. I'll start off. I'm changing it up a bit. Not going straight cocktail today. We're gonna go with an IPA. IPA, it's a local brewery. Well, maybe not so local up here in NorCal. Further north for sure. But big fan of IPAs. I know we've kind of described this in the Happy Hour Huddle podcast. But thrilled with at least the taste of this guy. So.
Oh, nice. That's good. And today what I got, I'm sticking with the tequila, but this time with just with the OJ. So a little bit of a screwdriver with tequila. Just something simple. Trying to start thinking of ideas, trying to get more creative. I think if anybody watching this, listening to this, has a good mixed drink or even a beer suggestion, let us know. We're always willing to try it. I remember it was a few years ago with like some coworkers after we did a softball league, a work softball league. I'll say I sucked. I was the worst player on that team. But I did it for fun. But after the games, we would go to Whole Foods. And we'll just get a random beer, sit there, and just enjoy it. So it's something I think I want to start doing for this episode, for this show, going to Whole Foods and just looking at some random beers and just trying giving it a shot.
That's
So
I love that idea. Just showing up at the supermarket, picking a random one, just giving it a go. If you like it, stick with the brand and
If you
expand on
don't,
it. I
yeah,
think
and if you
that's awesome.
don't if you don't like it, well, hey, you tried it at least. You could say,
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
no, for sure. But yeah, but we'll get started with today's show. The first, things we want to talk about, NFL started. We're both big NFL fans. Us and a lot of friends do fantasy. We watch football. As you can see, Tim's repping his team after today's win.
Yay,
49er, nine, bang, what is it? Bang, bang, Niner gang, whatever,
Bang Bang Niner Gang. Yes,
Is
sir.
that is that still the motto this year? Is it has it changed yet?
I don't think it's changed. At least in my book, we're still repping it. I've seen some Niner fan pages still repping the same song. Can't go wrong. Bang
No,
Bang Niner
can't.
Gang.
It was always a good song, so good one. But we're just gonna recap a few games, some of the things that sort of stood out to us. Like I said, because if we try to go over everything, it'll be Sports Center 2 hours long, and we like doing this, we like talking about it. And just giving our insight, our thoughts of the games. But one of the first things I noticed and what was interesting is Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield. For some reason, since he went to Tampa Bay, his career has just come back up. Like he's playing solid. He could take this Tampa team to the playoffs. I'm not going to say Super Bowl because I still think there's a lot of work, but compared to how he did on the Browns, it's crazy to see, because the Browns have gone through so many quarterbacks and Deshaun Watson right now looks horrible. what they, you know, that trade right now, worst trade ever. Houston, good for you because you guys got a lot of great players and look at you guys now. So, but that was one of the big takeaways for me is Baker Mayfield balling out, playing well, having a, you know, second chance at being a pro.
That's a great point, John. I thought a lot about that too with Deshaun Watson's performance. I heard today that I think they still owe him 230 mil,
Yes,
maybe
they
ballpark range.
too much money.
Crazy. Yeah, I think it's almost time to put Jameis in and just roll with him because, I mean, he's got that. He's just got a great energy to him. I know
Yeah,
I'm a
he
big
does.
energy guy on this show, but he's got it. And I don't know if you call it an experiment with Watson, but certainly it's a failed one if
It is.
that's, you want to label it that. And Baker's just made him look dumb. The entire Browns franchise, he's outperformed it. He deservedly got a great contract this past offseason. Has great weapons, but like John said, 289 yards passing, which was almost tops for the league minus Tua, in week one. There wasn't a whole lot of huge passing offense, but four TDs, zero interceptions. I mean, can't go wrong. He's using, all the talent he has around him, but that's a phenomenal point, just how great Baker looked.
And it's like, you know, the Browns have good players, you know, Amari Cooper, their wideouts, you know, even their defense, they have the defensive player of the year. So it's like they have a team, it's that quarterback. And I saw this Instagram post that Joe Flacco in the five games he started last year has thrown more 300-yard games, I think, than Deshaun Watson the entire time in the Cleveland Browns. And if you know anything about Joe Flacco, you know, I'm a Flacco guy. He's a Raven. He gave us a Super Bowl, but you know, not being able to outperform him this far in his career, there's something wrong with you, man. The Browns have to make a change, but you know, they have so much money invested in him. I think they're gonna try it out this whole year.
I agree. I think quite frankly they're just stuck. They're nobody's gonna take on that deal and they're just stuck. I don't think there's much. I maybe it's a confidence thing after all that he's gone through. But yeah, they're in some trouble there. And like you mentioned, there's weapons on offense and defense there that makes them
A
a
solid
huge
team.
divisional competitor there. But not paying off, and speaking of quarterback issues, another thing I wanted to bring up, which kind of leads into a further point a little bit down the line here, but the Jordan Love, we just found out, thankfully as sports fans, it's not a significant injury, but certainly going to put him out for maybe about a month is what it seems like, maybe about 4 weeks, 3, 4 weeks. With that being said, their backup is Joe Milton, who they is it Joe Milton, right? No, my
I think
bad. It's what's his face? I'm blanking. Willis. Something Willis, right? Uh-oh.
Is it
I'm blanking. Malik Willis. What am
Malik?
I doing?
Okay, yeah, the old
Malik
Tennessee,
Willis. Yeah. Cut that, please. just kidding. But Malik Willis, who I thought was going to be phenomenal coming out of college because of I believe the hype on him. I also believe the hype on Trey Lance. Shout out Trey again. And he came into the game, I think, for one play to try to throw a Hail Mary. Couldn't even get it off. He got sacked. But with that being said, it almost seems like this would have been the perfect spot for a guy like Joe Flacco to step into to bring this team and continue, hopefully, a winning time over the next month while Love is out.
No, yeah, for sure. You know, great news for Jordan Love, Packer fans, that it's not season ending. You know, I think you have to be careful with that type of injury because, you know, one hit again, you know, one takedown could really still hurt him. But yeah, that I you know, I've always thought bringing a veteran quarterback, I think it's a great smart idea because they know the game of football. They've played in the league for so long. Like I said, Joe Flacco, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Tim, but he won Comeback Player of the Year last year, correct? Was it him?
He did. He
He
absolutely
did.
did.
You know, he balled out, you know, and I was getting a little scared because I'm like, man, if Joe Flacco wins the Super Bowl without the Ravens, I'm going to be pissed off. You know, it's not something you want to see, but you know, that shows the experience, knowing the game, and it could help these, you know, teams with young quarterbacks, you know, because I think we saw a lot of the young quarterbacks this week sort of struggle. You know, Caleb, I don't even think he had 100 yards throwing, you know, this week, you know, and then
Yeah,
Bryce Young
relied
and
on the defense a lot.
Bryce Young and Carolina. You know, I always had high hopes for Bryce Young, but I'm starting to doubt a little bit if he's going to be a NFL QB.
I second that. Really didn't look good against the Saints this week. I too had kind of some decent hopes this offseason that he could turn around with a new head coach. Definitely not looking that way. Really struggled last year. Looking at a lot of the tape that I had seen online was, just throwing power in general. It's not, he doesn't really have that laser beam kind of short yardage, throw. It's a lot of lobs, a lot of time for the defense to react to it. Doesn't have a lot around him still, has more than he did last year, but still not
Not
looking good.
those
And
quality
the Saints.
weapons.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And speaking on Caleb, I had a hot take earlier. I'm already gonna bring it up week one, by the way. Gonna preface this guy. Caleb and the Bears. Caleb obviously, struggled. I think he kind of acknowledged that I think he had maybe 30 pass attempts, as John said. If he didn't surpass 100 yards, or if he did, it was right around it. It wasn't a whole lot. And the defense was a huge benefactor for him, and was the difference maker in that win altogether, and then also subpar play from the Titans in general. But I think that's kind of my preface as far as why I kind of chose them as like a hot take to take that division, was because their defense just added so many weapons to it, and they had such a good uptick in defensive play the year before, and kind of capitalizing on that again this year, and I think it clearly shows, in week one.
Do you think that the Bears protected Caleb? Do you know, because when I looked at some of the highlights, I felt like they didn't put too much pressure on him to not, you know, have him freak out, you know, have those, you know, first game jitters that could go on to the rest of the season. I sort of felt like they were just, you know, protecting him, making those short passes, you know, and not put expecting too much from him. I think they put a lot more pressure on the D and they showed up. You know, that's why they won. You know, Caleb is the first rookie quarterback to win. I think they've always lost their first game, you know, for the last few years. So I somewhat think they protected him, but I don't know. What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think looking at it right now, his longest pass on the day completion was about 13 yards, and that was to DJ Moore. 29 attempts, 93 yards, not a whole lot of action there. Sacked twice for 29 yards. They handed the ball off to Swift, was the biggest carrier at 10 carries altogether. Just wasn't really a proficient performance at all on the offensive end. And, I agree. Maybe it was just short yardage pass attempts to try to get him used to the flow of the game. And maybe they just had the expectations that, hey, this was going to be an easier dub on the season. Not a whole, I think a lot of people in general feel like the Titans aren't really going to be a big performer this year. And I think, for example, Bo Nix kind of had a similar day. I know he had a rushing touchdown, but kind of short yardage stuff, didn't really try to air it out a ton downfield. And maybe as the East is way into it, I think they should already in week two. But we'll see. But hey, a win's a win. Caleb kind of acknowledges it, and they'll move on.
Yeah, no, and it's a team game, so I think Caleb understands, you know, it's not always going to be on him. You know, the defense has to play well. A lot of pieces have to go well, good and right for them to win. So, yeah, Bo Nix, I know he, you know, I think a lot of the rookie quarterbacks struggled a bit. I think Jaden Daniels probably had the best showing out of these rookies with the two rushing touchdowns he had. but I still don't think he threw for more than 200 yards. So, I think there's going to be a lot of changes. I think they probably have learned not to put too much on these rookies, because if you look at some of the rookies that had a lot of pressure, Zach Wilson, no longer a starter after, his first few games, and Daniel Jones struggling. It's these young quarterbacks that you expect so much from and putting so much pressure. I think some of them just crack.
Isn't that kind of a similar sentiment to what Tom Brady was mentioning, if I'm not mistaken, where he's kind of saying, let these players learn first, then ease into it, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was kind of the preface he gave instead of just throwing them right into the game. And, it's kind of proving true, to an extent, unless your name is CJ Stroud. Obviously he had a great rookie year, but you nailed it. A lot of people, a lot of these quarterbacks that we have high expectations for just really aren't, performing, to where their expectations are maybe set. And that's kind of a tough call on them. Maybe a guy like Drake May, who gets to sit behind Brissett for the first year or maybe half year, we'll see how far that goes, will be a huge benefit to him. Rodgers did it and turned out into a great career. Brady did it with Bledsoe, got to learn from him,
Jordan Love did it.
Yep.
Yeah, and
Another great example,
Patrick
and
Mahomes did it, I think, with Alex Smith. So
absolutely.
it's learning. I think it's a big learning curve for a lot of them. So still excited to see a lot of these rookie quarterbacks, because I think they still have a lot. But they did decent, not the best showing. I think they didn't perform the way a lot of us wished, especially in fantasy, which we'll talk a little bit about later. But overall, I think they had good weeks. One of the hot takes I had, and it's based off also the first episode we had with Fat Boy. I had the Oakland Raiders, Raiders, as a dark horse of making the playoffs. And after this first game, I'm gonna stick to that, call, even though they looked horrible. Gardner Minshew, Minshew Mania, I literally thought was gonna perform well, but I think it's time, AOC time. Aiden O'Connell. Let's bring him in. Because, like I said, I still think they have a great team. Max Crosby, I think you shared the clip today, Tim, in our little text message group of how he just got bottled up, during the
Yeah,
game.
would you out? Yep.
Yeah. And like Joe Alt just showed why he was that, top pick. But I still have faith in them. I forget, I was watching something on Instagram, and someone said like they still have faith in Pierce of taking this team possibly to the playoffs, that they have a solid team. It's game one. Yeah, they didn't look good, but I still want to see a few games before I start taking back my Raider hype.
Yeah, and that's, I think it's super valid. I mean, it's, you can't be so hard to judge after 1 week. It's kind of tough to do that unless your team wins, of course. Then it's a lot easier to have those takes. But I completely agree with you. I think week two is obviously going to present a challenge taking on your Baltimore Ravens. That's going to be tough. But after that, they have Carolina, Cleveland, then Denver, then Pittsburgh. I mean, those are 4 weeks in a row that are super winnable, especially if they keep Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. They're looking sharp. So, first 2 weeks are rough, but hey, after 6 weeks, they could be 4-2. And that's a great position to be in. And of course, they have some tough tests after that with their division. But in general, I mean, like you said, I think that there's a lot of elements to that team. I think Aiden O'Connell is I mean, he can sling it.
Yeah, he can.
And, maybe that's going to be the difference maker, get a little bit better flow in the offense. I was kind of surprised that Zamir White's performance as well, that wasn't real great either.
That was I think we both had him as a, for fantasy wise, a breakout star this year. So we'll see what they do with him moving forward.
Yeah, lost the fumble, only rushed for about 44 yards and two catches for 2 yards. So yeah, not a whole lot there. But Browers, Bowers, Brock Bowers, six catches off of 8 targets, solid. Davante Adams, probably need to feed him a bit more. Jacoby Myers was performing. There is some upsides to the elements around. And looking at the Chargers offense, obviously they want run heavy. I
Heavy,
don't think that was any bit of a surprise.
no.
J.K. Dobbins went off. Herbert, but 144 yards. Kind of surprising stat line to see from him, huh?
It is, and there was another post. Like I said, I didn't save it because I was like scrolling during work during my little break I had, and there was th it showed like I think it was like 12 quarterbacks didn't go over 200 yards, which shows that this league has changed from that big old passing league to possibly running, you know, and more of a balanced offense. I think just, you know, depending on the teams they play, looking at those strengths, weaknesses, and exploiting them. So, yeah, it was a surprising game. It was a good game, I thought. You know, hopefully Fat Boy enjoyed it, you know, losing live from it looked like he was what, third row from the front.
He was really close. Yeah, he texted me. I think he texted me some random sus TikTok, of course.
Of course.
And I responded, "Hey man, your seats look great at the SoFi game or at SoFi this past weekend." And you know, and he was like, "Oh yeah, the tickets were so worth it." And I think, or maybe what initiated the convo was me sending him some like a Raiders crying video or something like that,
Crying
of course, just throwing that out there.
meme.
And you know, it seemed like he had a great time, but you're right, he's super close to the field. Certainly those seats justified the amount he paid for, which he prefaced in episode one. So happy to see that at least he enjoyed the experience.
And I think, you know, as fans, for me, I want to go to the game. I want to see my team win. But it's also about the experience, just enjoying it, because it's a once in a lifetime thing that you're, some people may only experience once, you know. Some of us maybe go to multiple things. So, you know, doing events like that, for me, I really take them in, enjoy them. Like one of the things I've done a lot recently is going to concerts. I've gone to, can't even count how many concerts, but with Vera, it's something we started doing because it's something we enjoy, the music, and it, you know, we're it, it's once in a lifetime. Like, we're never gonna go, well, we might go back to a few of them because we like the artist, but it's an experience to really enjoy. So I'm glad he enjoyed it. You know, I'm glad, you know, the tickets look like they were worth it. I would have been stoked. He might have been, you know, catching some of those Raider tears from the players on the sideline. Who knows?
100%.
But no, it was probably fun for him.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, and I second you on concerts. You know, I haven't gone to enough. I know you've gone to a lot, but I know that you and I have both prefaced what an experience like Taylor Swift was. Shout out Tay Tay. You know, I know we saw the she was at the Chiefs game, and then her and Kelsey and Patrick and his wife were at the US Open as
US
well.
Open,
But just that concert in general was insane. That's something to experience, and like you mentioned, going to these events are an experience. You know, it's more than just seeing the teams.
And it's a memory you make for a lifetime. You know, when you go with your, like for us, we go with our wives, we go with buddies. Like, it's something you're always going to remember. So I always try to enjoy it and doing that. So just like football, you know, I haven't gone to too many games,
100%.
but when I've gone to them, they've been fun. I've enjoyed them, even though my team loses. Baseball games, I think every time I go with you or Chris to Dodger Giant games, we always lose, but I enjoy the time. I enjoy watching you guys sometimes talk smack and possibly start getting jumped by Dodger fans. I'm gonna be like, nah, I'm okay. Let's see what happens to you guys. Chris is one that sort of will speak up a little bit more. But it's always a fun
Yeah,
time
for sure.
with all of us.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I think we were all at that same event when or the same Dodger game when it was Dodgers Giants, and I think the two people sitting in front of us was saying like me and Chris dressed up in Giants gear was like, "Hey, you two versus us four." And it's like, dude, we're not trying to get in a fight right now.
No, we're here
But
to
I
enjoy
think
the
that's
game.
been yeah, I think that's been every like Dodger Stadium experience I've ever had. But you know, hey, deservedly so if I'm dressed in Giants gear. I get it. It's all part of the fandom.
It's part of the fandom, but like I said, I don't think they would have done anything. I think we had a teeny
No.
that time, you know. But now,
Yeah.
well, I think once
Yeah.
they saw him, they're like, yeah, no, we're not gonna mess with these dudes.
Yeah, they sat down.
Yeah,
Yeah.
they
Yeah.
just
We
talk
had
this
some
off.
extra forces with us. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. And that's all it is. It's shatter. It's fun. But yeah, as long as you keep it there, you don't engage in it and stuff. But another thing, speaking of which, experience-wise, is something I was thinking about was I've really wanted to attend a Seahawks Niners game, but up in Seattle,
Oh, okay.
because I heard, the Seahawks Stadium is just electric. Causes earthquakes, obviously. And I've driven past it a bunch because I have family that lives up in the Seattle area. And it's such a beautiful looking stadium. Seattle altogether is one of my favorite cities. But just can't stand the Seahawks, just comes with the territory. But in general, it seems like a really fun experience. So, I know we play them in October this year, probably a bit too soon, but maybe next year, trying to form something where we could all go up. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I think, going to some of those stadiums, even rival stadiums, always a good time. Like I say, it's for fun. We enjoy watching football. But yeah, that's the stadium I've always enjoyed, just watching, seeing it on the TV, the open air, just the way the stadium played out with, like, I think it's like the middle's open, and, if you think of Seattle, it's always nice and cool. So you get that nice
Oh yeah.
breeze. So that'll be a fun one.
Yeah, their end zone seats are really cool, how it like kind of pitches upwards, but like in a triangle almost. But you can still see downtown, and I think it's a really cool ambiance there. And driving past it's huge, but looks awesome. Been to Safeco, which was a great stadium as well, which is right next to it. But I think it's Lumen Field. Seems really cool.
Yeah, no, that one seems like a
For
good
sure.
one. Those were like the big headlines for me for NFL Week One that I sort of wanted to touch. There were, like I said, there were a lot of games, a lot of good stuff to, talk about, but those were a few that sort of stuck out to me. Anything else for you, Tim, that really stood out?
It's really tough for me to ignore my Niners win when that just happened. We look great.
You
I
did.
just five give me 10 seconds here, John. Backup running back Ayuk obviously didn't have a ton of time in training camp. Missed a great throw by Brock in the
I
end zone,
saw
which was a
that.
big bummer. Yeah, that was super catchable, and I know he's going to catch heat for it because of what we just paid him and what he was holding out for. But I think with just playing time, he's going to show what he's worth. And I think that'll be just fine. I did see Shefty put out something that McCaffrey's in jeopardy of missing week two as well. So we'll pay attention to that. Week two is against the Vikings. Might not be super competitive, but it is the Vikings, and we lost to them last year. So, I don't want to eat my own words too much here. But Jordan Mason looked phenomenal.
He did.
I think he might have been second top rusher this week next to Mixon. Mixon, I think, surpassed Buck 50, but I think Mason got really close to it, and just what a stud. Really stood in well.
Power runner. Like I was watching someone, he runs angry. They say Pacheco runs angry. Nah, Mason just is a bulldozer. The way I was like, I wouldn't be wanting to stand in front of him because he's gonna take you out. Like you're gonna have to drag him down. Like the way he was
Oh,
running, I
yeah.
was like, so and I saw also that he bought that, like, I forget what it's called, the machine that throws the football, because he was working on his hands. And that's why he got, I think, the number two spot. Is Eli Mitchell still on the team?
I think he is, but he might be injured or third string at this
Third
point.
string. But yeah, but
He's often injured, unfortunately.
But I think, I saw that he bought that because he's like, I need to get as close to Christian McCaffrey, and he needed to work on his hands because he always had that power running, but he didn't have the hands to catch. So.
Yeah, he had a few good catches in there too. One was like they put on a highlight. I mean, just the way he grabbed it and then secured it, diving, I think. It was a great looking catch for sure. And second to that, I think another running back that's kind of in the mix was I think his name is Isaac Garendo. But I think we're using him more on special teams. He's out of, I think, Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken. But he's an angry runner too. He's a big boy. So, he could be in there in the mix. Maybe in the future we'll see. But just the way Jordan Mason looked, I mean, it's crazy that we can have CMC take a break and heal up but have
Yeah.
somebody like him just randomly step in. And Eli Mitchell did it for us as well. It's just
Yeah.
the
Yeah.
offense
What?
is just great for him.
Yeah, no, for sure. Are you willing to give CMC a longer break if Jordan Mason continues playing well, just to make sure CMC's fully healthy and healthy going into the playoffs? Because, like I say, the wear and tear on the running back and what, Christian McCaffrey does, you want to give him as much of a break. And if Jordan Mason could do this for a few more games, and you guys could win those games, it might be worth having him sit and just be fully 100%.
And I totally hate to say this for all the fantasy owners out there, but as a Niners fan, yes, ease him into it too when he's back. Split some carries at first. I'm all for it. And Shanahan uses CMC like nobody's business. We saw that last year, but deservedly so. I mean, there's a reason for it. But yeah, week two, for sure, sit him out. Let him let
It's the
Jordan Mason go
Vikings.
crazy against the Vikings.
They're a decent team. I
100%.
think their offense is a lot better than their defense, but if Jordan Mason could, produce what he did today, give CMC that break, see the matchup the following week, and really wait till CMC's 100% healthy. Because, like I say, if you throw in him too soon as a running back, you get hit a lot more than a QB, so you're more at risk of re-injuring yourself. And I think I was one that, I don't think I said it on this podcast, I think we said it on Happy Hour. For me, Brock Purdy, I thought today he was going to have to show a lot. I didn't know Jordan Mason was going to show up the way he did. I was like, this is where Brock Purdy is going to sort of show that he is a top tier QB. He didn't really have to do too much because, like I said, Jordan Mason was there. So we'll see what happens. But, you guys got to figure out if you're going to pay him after, especially after what Dak got paid. He's going to be up
Yeah.
there.
Yeah, no, it's scary to think about for sure, because obviously we pay Brock, what he's gonna be at market value. It's gonna be kind of crazy to think about who would leave, or take a pay cut. But Brock will deserve whatever he gets, 100%.
I
But
think,
yeah.
we'll see. I think he deserved more than Dax because he, in the shorter amount of time, he's won more playoffs. He's gone to the Super Bowl. He's done a lot. So it's like he should be getting paid more than, what is it, 60 mil that Dak got, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And if anybody tries to bring up the argument of, oh, well, a lot of it's like yak yards, yards after catch, look at what Tua got paid. I think Tua ended up with over 300 yards, maybe the only QB that did it this week, I believe. But 80-yard touchdown by Tyreek, saved the
But
day on that one.
yeah, no,
But
for sure.
he does what he gives the ball to what he has, and that's what's most important. And he gets it there, he delivers, and that's all we ask. I mean, can't complain with the 32-19 win.
Yeah,
So.
no, yeah. I think he's gonna get paid. I still have my doubts that he's like that top tier, but I think he's a game manager that could take any team to the Super Bowl if there's a weapons around him, like he does have in San Francisco. So, hey, Brock Purdy, go get paid. You deserve it. Yeah, and they'll tell the Ravens fans I said
100%.
that. I'm gonna say,
Yeah. Yep. Another rich quarterback over there with you guys.
Didn't want to talk about them too much because we lost. I, felt we got cheated out of the game, but hey, NFL, for me,
Well,
NFL favors some teams, but I'll leave it at that, NFL. I'll leave it at
hey, I
that.
saw what you saw. I mean, I'm in agreement. I think we're all thinking the same things. On that game in general. But I definitely have some follow-up questions for you regarding that Ravens team here as we go into fantasy topics.
And yeah, let's go for it. Let's go into, talking a little bit about fantasy, some of the, we do a little bit of the daily fantasy apps we have here in California. We can't sports bet, but we do, the higher or lower right now, the, pick your team. So I'll let you go take it away, Tim. What questions do you got?
For sure. So, right off the bat, I think this is going to be a big topic moving forward. Is the Ravens tight end situation going forward? Is this an even split with likely and Andrews, or is Andrews still top dog?
I think Andrews is still top dog. I think they're protecting him a little bit because his injury was nasty last year and he came back, but who knows if he pushed himself too fast to try to come back soon. So I still think Andrews is top dog, but the way Lamar throws, I think it could go anyway. I've always liked Likely. I always thought he was going to be a good, 1-2 punch with Andrews, and he's showing it right now. It's one game. Let's see how the next few games go. Let's see how they start using Andrews. I think, they're just getting him up and running. But yeah, I saw that and I was like, man, glad I didn't draft Andrews. I wanted to this year. Likely, he's a solid player, and I think he's showing up too because he's getting ready to get paid.
Yeah, no, I was kind of surprised at the stat line. I was watching the game, but to see Likely with 9 catches, 111 yards, and a touchdown, almost that second touchdown. I'm not trying to put salt on the burn here, but what Patty Mahomes said, wear white shoes next time. Not a bad idea, huh?
It's not a bad idea. I think I saw, in sort of New Heights where Travis Kelce, Jason Kelce's podcast, they were talking to, I think, Julian Edelman, where, they were sharing with Jason Kelce that you have to wear the color gloves of the team's jerseys so you could hold them and not be able to, tell that you're holding them. Because if you're wearing red gloves on a white jersey, you're going to be able to see that, snag of the jersey where it's white on white. You aren't going to be able to really tell unless you look really closely. So yeah, it's unfortunate. I think we had a lot of missed opportunities that game. I'm surprised they didn't use Derrick Henry more. I think we have him in our league, in our main league. He got us a touchdown, he got us good points, but I think they were gonna I thought they were gonna use him more. We'll see. But if this is how they use him and he's healthy for the playoffs, I'm okay with it.
Definitely. Yeah, and at least he scored. I think in our group chat I brought up the word vulture, but I was corrected otherwise that Henry is not a vulture. And that but Lamar's just as compatible to rush it in himself. So,
I think
yeah.
when that one, you can see it both ways because, like, I think Lamar takes a lot of those touchdowns normally. So for those Lamar owners, they probably like, yeah, that was a vulture. That was an easy one for him. But I'm glad they did that with Henry because I'd rather save Lamar. Don't let him go through all those big hits for, I understand the touchdowns fantasy wise. If I had Lamar, I'd want that. But as a fan, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, for sure. And another topic too is that a lot of folks are going back to that Lamar is just a running back, which, 16 carries, 122 yards is a phenomenal running back stat line. But the dude threw for 273 yards still, which is almost top dog in the league. I don't get it. I hate to see this slander thrown at Lamar because more than proven his value as, an end of first round pick. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, I've never really liked that talk. Like, I think a lot of people like seeing the old school quarterbacks throwing the accuracy. Lamar, his first few years wasn't as accurate, was more just all out there, but he has gotten a lot solid. We also never had weapons. I feel we never had weapons in Baltimore. Now with Zay Flowers, Andrews, and now Likely, I think he has a solid group. Derrick Henry too. He could catch out of the backfield, and like I say, that's one running back I wouldn't coming full speed. I'd want to move away because I feel like I'd probably die if he would run me over on how big he is. So
He's insane.
yeah. So the slander on Lamar, not the biggest fan. I think he's done a lot better throwing. I like it. I think that's where they made the mistake in the playoffs this last year, where we lost to KC. Is they're trying to make him a throwing quarterback instead of sort of splitting it. Because I think that game, he only had like 6 rushes. where he should be averaging about 10 to 12 to sort of start throwing off the defense. Because if the defense know you're just going to throw, they're not going to stack up the box, and then you're not going to have all those players open. Whereas if you're running it, they have to put all those players in that box, and your wide receivers could get open a lot easier.
For sure. Yeah. No doubt. And just in general, I just feel like the Baltimore offense is looking stellar. I think against most teams in the league, they're going to be winners. I don't think there's much to fear there at all moving forward. And on the other side of the ball, Chiefs look great. It's back to the same old thing there. They got a new weapon with the rookie wide receiver, and he scored right off the bat, which was insane, and his speed is crazy. It's just another weapon for Patty Mahomes, which is kind of crazy in itself. But yeah, Xavier Worthy, insane.
Quick.
And then yeah, quick to put it lightly, that guy's lightning. It's insane. But Rashee Rice as well. We have him on our fantasy team. 7 catches, 103 yards. I kind of had fear with all that happened with him this offseason. Obviously, isn't playing any part in his game.
No, yeah, I was hesitant to draft him when we were drafting, but I was like, gotta take a chance. A lot of people pass on him, so I was like, hey, it was a good value. And then once I saw that he was most likely he's not going to get suspended at all this year, all his consequences may come next year. And I was like, it's worth the risk, especially with that team. I think Travis Kelce also had a very small game. He didn't have too many points, and I think because he's the focal point, so Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Pacheco—they're all going to get more points because I think Kelsey's going to be the big factor there always. So, I think he had a great game, great pickup for us.
Yeah, for sure. And moving along to other, we kind of prefaced on this earlier. It almost seems like it's turning into a running back league. There was just some huge numbers running backs put up this week. And one of them being Saquon Barkley, first game with Philly, put up at least in a half PPR league, 35.2 points, scored 3 times. Stellar. I mean, good grief. I mean, if you chose him late first round, early second round, what a steal.
Yeah, no, that was a steal of the draft. Like I said, we'll see if it continues that way, but like I saw those numbers. I knew Saquon was gonna be do well. I was hoping he was gonna drop a little bit in the draft because I know a lot of people were hesitant. He didn't, but Giant fans, I wonder how they're feeling about that. Like I say, they gave that up. I don't know
Oof.
if you saw Hard Knocks, the owner saying if Saquon would go to the Eagles, he wouldn't be able to sleep. He hasn't slept in probably close to a week.
God, and what a brutal video to look back on. Just that conversation in general. I saw a playback as soon as their game ended with Philly. Just what a brutal aspect that you guys, that the Giants overpay for Daniel Jones and then underpay or under offer Saquon and let him walk. Daniel Jones, terrible performance again. I don't think anybody's really surprised at this point. And he got paid, good for him, but that franchise is just in shambles over the next, what, year or two? I don't know how much longer they owe Daniel.
It's going to be a few years because, like I say, they have Daniels. I don't, I always thought they were going to go QB in the draft. I think Fidel said it or someone said it, but they didn't go QB because they paid, Daniel Jones. So they had to stick with him, almost like what the Browns are doing with Deshaun. They have to stick with him a bit because they paid so much money. So they got to see if it pays off in the end. But not paying Saquon, I think, was the biggest mistake, because he's always been a great runner, for the Giants when they've had terrible teams. So it's unfortunate, but great for fantasy owners that has Saquon.
100%. Definitely looking like a steal after week one. We'll see, like John said, how much longer it goes. But hey, I'm a big advocate to jump on, like if I was new to being an NFL fan in general, I'm a really big person on not jumping on winning bandwagons. If I were to jump on a team that, hey, we're going to start from the bottom, the Giants, I think, is a great starting point right now. Decent history, but they're not going to win too much this year. But just you can start low and then watch them build on top of this, and I think it's a great starting point where they're at right now.
Yeah, I think the Giants, Steelers might be a good one too. They're always a solid team.
Surprising week one win with them.
I think the other surprising win fantasy wise, and also we all started doing underdog betting. The other surprising win I had was the Patriots beating Cincinnati. And in my little parlay, my what is it, 3 6-player parlay, I missed out on two players. First one, Jamar Chase, above, I said higher than 67.5 yards. He had 62. Brutal, brutal.
Oh, yeah,
And then
that's rough.
Jalen Polk, I had higher than 2.5 receptions, only had one. I think if the game script was flipped where Cincinnati was up and the Patriots were down, I think I would have hit, would have won. It was a small one. I would have won, I think it was 470. But I was just like, man, I don't know if these algorithms know something we don't know. This is all scripted, for us not to win, but brutal. Fantasy, sports fantasy wise, but it's part of the game, something I do enjoy. I got the rest right, so but
Yeah, for sure. And to preface on that, I too have, pretty much lost all I've tried to play. I didn't put much into it this past weekend with I'm starting out light. I think I played with maybe 15 real bucks, and then I got a referral bonus, which I played with a little bit here. But for tonight, I did have a tough beat, couple tough beats actually. I had Debo on the over with 67 and a half rush plus reception yards. He got 77. That was a beat. But Ayuk chose the over on 3.5 receptions, ended up with two. One that really killed me was I chose the over on 36 and a half yards for the longest completion on Purdy. His longest on the night was 34. If I would have capitalized on that one, I would have gotten paid, but unfortunately 2.5 yards off did not work out for me. And just the way that game went, they wanted to run it out, which I get, but was really hoping for some type of deep bomb there at the end. And yeah, I think Jusic was the biggest pass. I think that was the 34-yarder. Debo came close with like a 20, upper 20s, I think. But yeah, I too did not win this weekend. I think I chose Rome Odunze to score. I mean, that offense didn't do much. We'll see how I mix it up next weekend, but it's all part of the fun of it. It gets you watching every game attention, and certainly helps when we come on here and talk about it. So.
So yeah, well, we'll give out picks every now and then, show you guys how we're doing. If we're starting to do well, we'll let you know what we do. Follow us, see if you want to bet with us. Tell Underdog, hey, betting with, Banter on the Rocks, find a way to get us sponsored with them.
Hell
We'll
yeah.
give you guys
Would love
picks.
that.
But yeah, that was that fantasy. I think fantasy wise, league wise, we did well. I think we won this week. I haven't checked our four man league, how that went. Have you looked that one up?
I took the L. I
You
took the
took
L
the
there. But I put up a good fight with Fidel. I lost
L.
239 to 223.
Okay.
Kind of made, I think my issue is the quarterback situation. Gonna for sure put Caleb on the bench. Kind of thought he would give me some dual threat advantage there, but didn't. Got to throw Tua back in there, but my bench went off, which is promising. I have Mixon on the bench. I have Stefon Diggs on the bench, who both combined for nearly 50 points in total. So that would have been a really good added plus. But in general, the team's there. My running backs did phenomenal. Cooper Kupp. Another big thing fantasy implication wise is what's going on with Puka. I haven't really seen an update with him, but I know it's a kind of vicious knee injury.
Yeah. Well,
Praying that it's not much because he's so much fun to watch.
Yeah, he was put on the IR, so he's out 4 weeks for sure. So,
Oof.
you know,
Yeah.
it's brutal. And I think, you know, that's one of the hard things about week one, and at least fantasy perspective, all these injuries you see the first game, you know, Puka, Jordan Love, you know, there's a lot of people that had Jordan Love as their starting QB. Puka, they probably took in the first round, you know, Roman Dunze, I think he's week to week, I saw from his injury. What under? I think those were the three big injuries, you know, fantasy wise. And it's like when you lose one player like that, or and CMC not playing today, not suiting up, you know, people that
Yep.
drafted CMC, you had to go to waivers. And I think a lot of people picked up, you know, the backup for San Francisco. So there wasn't much left, you know, so
Yeah. My
it.
buddy Esteban, shout out Esteban, a little foreshadowing here. He's going to be a future guest. He told me he had Jordan Mason on his bench. At least he owns him, but had to watch him go off. You know, on his bench, unfortunately. Hopefully, he still ended up with the win, though.
Yeah,
Kind
and
of
it's tough.
brutal to look
I
at.
think when you see that, you know, you have your bench players outperform your starters, you're just like, why didn't I make that decision? But I think it's all part of the game. You know, you really have to sort of just, it's a lot of skills, but I've always also said it's a lot of luck on what your players do, you know, because you never know who's going to go off.
Yeah, absolutely. And in those Monday night matchups are super hard to predict. I mean, I think CMC was rolled out maybe an hour and a half before the contest. So, you know, if you were saving up, you know, you were a CMC owner with Mason as the handcuff and kind of pivoted from there. I think that's really the only way.
And you know, that was always a strategy I had. You know, our league, our bench is a lot smaller, so I don't do it as much, but I would always handcuff my top running backs because you never know when something like that's gonna happen. And you know, if it's a Monday night game, all the players have played, there's only a few people to pick up, and usually they're going to get you one, maybe 0 points. So yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I remember looking back. God, I think it's been probably three years. But CMC injured himself like week three or four against the Houston Texans, and it was like a calf strain, and you know we weren't too sure how severe it was going to be. But I think that season I already had Chuba Hubbard on my bench, thankfully because Fidel had dropped him, but he Fidel had drafted him. You know, just putting in that, hey, CMC gets injured often, you know, let's get a handcuff for him.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's what it
It's a big
is. And
factor.
I was gonna sort of a fantasy question for you, Tim. Are you I've talked to a few buddies. I think Armando told me about this strategy years ago. But he's like, it's always good to lose the first game in fantasy because your waiver pickup is higher. And this is where you see these players come out, you know, Jordan Mason, you know, not for us because we have a 14-man league. He was picked up, but some other leagues, he might be on the waiver wire. You know, Isaiah Likely, he's probably on the waiver wire for a lot of leagues. Like, this is your, you know, if you have that number one waiver wire because you lost lowest points, you could pick up an awesome player for the rest of the year and make a solid team. Do you feel like that strategy is good, or do you know, would you prefer just to win and just work at the waiver wire wherever you're at?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a phenomenal thing to have in your pocket. I know sometimes it gets really tough because you don't know how long, you know, that waiver pickup you added is going to last. You know, is it an injury that's season ending? Is it an injury where they're going to be out a month and then they come back? But, you know, I think it pays off handedly for a lot of folks who are in desperate need of wins. I think it's a great strategy. I think it worked out really well that season Eli Mitchell went off week one against Detroit. You know, that came out of nowhere. So, you know, in general, I think it's a great method. It can be risky at times, but you know, I think that it's definitely beneficial. And if you're going to lose earlier in the season for multiple reasons, is best. So yeah, no, I think there is upside to it for
Upside,
sure.
we'll see. You know, we'll see how they do this week. I don't think there are many season-ending injuries, or I'm trying to think. I don't think there were any players surprisingly broke out like Puka last year, Kyren. But we're still just 1 week into the season, so there's still a lot of football, a lot of games to watch. It's hard for me to watch games. I try to do my best with the kiddo, try to put the game on. He isn't liking it, starts doing a little bit of complaining, and got to go back to his cartoons and watching it on my small screen. It's that life. It's a different change for football now.
I'm in the same exact boat. Thankfully, with YouTube TV, it makes it a lot easier. Shout out YouTube. It's where we do a lot of our posting. If you guys want to give us a free membership, we won't pass that up. But in general, it's been great because it's great on mobile devices. Because I too sacrifice the TV. It's always great to watch on the big screen. And YouTube TV thankfully has that. That multi-view with like four screens going on at once, so you get to watch four games at the same time. It's great for college football as well, but sacrificing watching it on the screen, mobile devices is the way to go.
Yeah, that was part of the parent life, so
Don't miss a beat.
yeah.
Adjustments, Sean.
It
Adjustments.
is. It is. Like I said, when he was younger last year, he was barely I think it was like 8, 9 months when the football started, and he wasn't really watching TV. So I was enjoying it, just holding him, playing with it, him and his bouncer. But now he's every now and then he gets bored, wants to watch his movies, and got to do what I got to do to keep him happy, or else it's just
For
a
sure.
nightmare for all of us.
Sorry, Ariel hijacked my headphones. About that, John? But yeah, no, it's all part of the sacrifice of things, and kiddos are worth it though. Just
Yeah,
like
no, it's
that,
worth
got to give your phone away in order for them to be entertained sometimes.
You got to.
Yeah, absolutely. They'll learn about fantasy in the future. It's okay.
Once they start watching with us, making fans, it'll be fun when they get older.
Yeah, absolutely. But hey, I will say, maybe Keanu will get into it in the future here for you, John. But Theo certainly roots for the Niners now. He knows when the game's on and he knows to cheer for the red team. So
The
we're on a good track. We're on a
red
great
team.
track right
No,
now.
that's good.
We're looking good.
Like I said, we got two teams here. We got the Ravens, and then we got the Patriots. So I don't think Vera roots for the
Yep, there you
Patriots
go.
much since Tom Brady left. So it's more of a Raven household now.
Yep,
But
good
awesome.
old Brady.
That's just some of our recap of this past week: football, fantasy, our little California, what is it? It's not sports betting, it's fantasy apps, our daily
Yeah,
fantasy, what
what
they
we're stuck
call
with.
it. Hopefully California makes sports betting legal. Please, if you do gamble, gamble responsibly. Don't put your house up. It's not worth it. Just do it for fun as a hobby. And then next thing we sort of want to talk about was just sort of banter on the rocks, sort of talking about ourselves, sharing a little bit more about who Tim is, who Bina is, and why we're doing this adventure, what got us into this. So I think one of the first questions for both of us, Tim, is what made us go into podcasting and making content like this? And I remember the first time it was brought up, it was that group message that I think it was first in our video game group message. Let's start a podcast. I think you were talking to Fidel about it. And really, when you mentioned it, I always had that mindset of I want to start a podcast. And when you mentioned it, I was like, hell yeah, let's do it.
I love that. Yeah. No, and that's been my mentality all along. I'm probably beating a dead horse, in at least the conversations we've had, John, but maybe I'm not because I know you have the same mentality as me. But I've had such a fascination behind growing up, if I wasn't gonna be playing a professional sport, which of course we all dream of if you ever played a sport. It was just having something to do with it still. And now with modern technology and where podcasting has come and how simplified it is to set something up like this, Certainly it costs money and stuff to in time to do, what we're doing now. But, to have the ability to do it from home has made it much more attainable. And, I grew up watching SportsCenter. I know we've talked about this, John, attending sporting events, playing sports, fascinations in movies, seeing movie premieres. I used to work in a movie theater, just you name it, This has always just been such a fascination, and making it big, if this can become a career, I think I will cry. It's just
It would be awesome. I think, I think that's sort of the mindset we both have had. We've talked about it. We're doing this for fun. We're doing this as a hobby, but we're also putting a lot into it to sort of see if we can make it into podcasting, make it into some sort of entertainment on the internet podcasting, because it and I talked a little bit about it last episode with Rob of before this, I was always very shy, very quiet. I know you guys say I'm a social butterfly, but I need a few of these, little drinks we talk about at the beginning of our show to really talk a lot. But I've been more open, and I've enjoyed just talking to you a lot. And having these guests on the last 2 days has just been really cool, getting to know Rob a little bit more, because I've known Rob since he's been with Kimberly. But I feel like I really got to know him a little bit better recently. And Fat Boy, I've known Fat Boy since I was a kid, but still just having those conversations with him, awesome time. So, I hope with this platform we could do that with a lot more people. I know you're bringing on some of your buddies. I'm always going to try to bring some of my buddies, and I want to get to know your friends, because like I say, it's just fun conversations. It's just normal people talking and having a great time, and we're doing it for people to join us online, and it's just a big dream that I've had recently.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's kind of like it's like a reignition of childhood dreams, if that makes sense. It's something long thought about, but you get tied up with school and careers, and a lot of it gets sidetracked. But in the back of my head is, like, wow, how do these folks make it on SportsCenter? How do these folks get to do sidelines broadcasting, or startup fantasy shows, fantasy football shows, or you name it. And it's the way things are now. It's just become a lot more attainable and easy. And like John mentioned, meeting new people, that's why we've prefaced, like, even if you're just first time watching us and you comment saying, hey, I got a lot to talk about, can I jump on? I would love it. If you're a content creator yourself, same exact thing. Doesn't have to be about sports, doesn't have to be about movies, doesn't have to be about music. Could be about anything. And it's such a fun aspect to be able to come on here and talk about all of those things. And it's just so much fun. It's really, really nice to have, somebody like yourself, John, that shares that same eagerness and passion towards something like this, because it's made it that much more fun and easy for myself.
No, yeah, for sure. And we talked about how it got started for me. I think the one thing recently that ignited the thought in my head before you brought it up in that group message is I'll say I'm a big fan of New Heights with Travis Kelce, Jason Kelce. I started watching that when they were on TikTok. Was a big fan of what they were doing and just having those normal, brother conversations. I was like, man, we do that with our buddies. Like, we do that all the time. And I was like, we could do something like this. Our platform, we would have to grow it the way we're trying to do right now, because we're not famous athletes like them, but and I have a little controversy with that, with all this Taylor Swift stuff. I have some thoughts about why they got a $100 million contract, but I also think they deserve it. They do amazing. It's great content. But that's sort of what ignited me, because I was like, that's something I would like to do. And like you mentioned, if we can make this a career, I would be so thankful and happy. And yeah, I might cry too, because it's like, it's something I never really thought I could do. It's a fun time.
Absolutely. And I will preface, John and I have had deep conversations about the future of this show. And if we go brick and mortar with a studio, we already have ideas for that,
Yeah,
just so
we
you
got
all know.
many.
And
We've
I'm
got
so
a little.
excited for that. Yeah, there's something you want to throw out there about that, John?
No, it's just that I think we have so many thoughts and ideas that are just flood our mind, and we always just share it. And I think, we'll always go back to those text messages of, all right, what do we have planned? I think one of the things we have, coming up with Banter on the Rocks is we're gonna be trying to get some gaming streaming. We're big gamers. Like I would think we're not as big as we used to be, when we were younger. Now that we're parents, we've worked full time, but it's something we want to get back to because we still have a lot of buddies that play a lot, and that's a way for us to connect with them and then also sort of bring this interview concept with some gaming. I think Call of Duty is a big one. I saw that preview to Warhammer, I think you were mentioning, Tim. That one looks pretty sick. There was a clip I saw where it reminded me of like a Starship Troopers with like just a bunch of bugs coming at you from different sides. I was like, that looks insane. But playing that with friends,
100%.
would be fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's an insane rush, it looks like. Some of those bugs coming at you are insane. I've seen some the way that they pile on top of each other to make it up a wall. It's just,
I was like,
that
dang.
sheer rush of it's insane to look at, but it just seems like a great, game to kind of get reactions out of and ask questions as we go too. So we've already talked to some buddies, and certainly, that's something that we'd love to do. And those who share, passions for video games, again, interview styles does not matter. If it's like, you guys comment on here and say, hey, I prefer a interview that involves gaming. Let's do it. Perfect. We're going to be sure that we have that compatibility to, film everything up there and be able to put it on the screen with the gameplay, and we'll make it happen for sure. I know that we have some destination interviews that we've thought long and hard about also, which are exciting in the future. But I'm all for it, and we have very similar likes, as far as hobbies go. So I think it'll be a ton of fun.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a lot of fun. I've enjoyed this experience. I think we've been doing it. We're going on 4 months. I took a month off with my little Bell's palsy. Like, I'm still struggling with it, but I just doing this, I enjoy it, and I have the confidence now to continue doing this with my face like this. And I don't really mind what people think anymore. I've gotten over it. But I think what I'm also excited about is just the interviewing piece and getting to know people, and it's just a fun time. I want to get to know people, want to do these interviews, talk about whatever. And it's also learning for me because, like last week, we had Rob. Didn't really know much about cycling, didn't know tight is right, didn't know a lot of that stuff. I think there were a few people that didn't like the comments we made, but it's things I think a lot of normal people would ask, like, with cycling, do you really have to wear the spandex? And Rob answered it perfectly. He laughed about it because I think when he started, he was the same way. Like, do I have to wear this? And now he says, yeah, because it really helps. So, asking those questions, learning, I'm always here learning from Tim. I think Tim's learning from us, like baseball. I know a bit. Tim's a pro at baseball, and vice versa. Soccer, I think
That's
I
right.
know a lot more about soccer, but Tim's learning as well just from the conversation. So, if you have something you want to talk about, we may not know much about it, but we will do our research and sort of have you teach us a little bit about it. So, like Tim mentioned, if you ever comment that, want to talk about this, can I join the show? Let us know. We'll find a time to bring you on and do this, and it's also a good experience for everybody that may want to consider doing podcasts, doing a show, getting a taste of it, seeing how you like it, seeing the setup. We're very open about what we invested into, what we our equipment now, and just the time and dedication it takes.
100%. Yeah. In a big, to kind of preface on what John had mentioned, with maybe not knowing a whole lot about a certain topic is, I've been labeled a generational yapper at times. Definitely could be a little bit of a chatty Cathy over here. But, also, I've also been told cat caught my tongue sometimes, which is very true. Hey, if I'm listening on a certain topic like soccer, where maybe I don't know a whole lot, but I can shout out Landon Donovan being a great once upon a time soccer player.
Yes.
But in those moments, I'm a listener too, and if I can listen to, John and Rob discuss, soccer and their knowledge with it, having played it, hey, wealth of knowledge to myself. And that's number one. So, that's what this podcast turns into. You learn about new people, and that's what you get from interviews. So thrilled about it. I think it's such a great thing that I've personally incorporated into my free time in life, and I don't get a whole lot of it, but I enjoy coming on here and doing this with you, John.
No, for sure. Same here. I think both our wives have told us this is our second job right now. Or maybe our third jobs, because we have our full-time jobs. We have our parent life with us also, being a, dad's, it's full time. And doing this on the side as well, it's another job, because like I said, we put a lot into this because we're doing it for fun, but we also want to see if we can make it successful. We want to see if we can make this grow. So we're gonna put a lot of effort into it. And like Rob said last week, it's not easy work, it's hard work. So you really have to work hard to try to make something successful. So I'm happy to see where the future for Banter on the Rocks goes and where we're sort of taking this show.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like I prefaced earlier too. We've thought a lot about, not only what's happening in the present, but in the future. Sorry, I have a small child doing stuff back here. But we've thought about a lot what goes on in the future. So, it's definitely well thought out, and we're really excited what we have in store. And I think the nearest thing is certainly starting up some gaming streaming. And it's so much fun to even think about. We've bought a lot of the equipment for it, and we've already discussed what games, and games continue to come out, and we're always willing to try new things. So I think that's what makes this so fun, is that it's just endless enjoyment of hobbies we've always had. So yeah.
No, yeah. So like Tim mentioned, look out for the future. I think we have a lot of good stuff. We have a lot of guests, we sort of want to line up to come talk about a few things, different topics. And like I said, for us, talking, chatting, learning. But
Looks
yeah,
like a
it does. I
lightsaber.
was about to say, you got someone doing some lightsabers battles back there. But that's where we're going with this show. I'm excited. It's a fun time, like Tim mentioned, us just hanging out. It's also a good time for us to connect. He's up north, I'm in SoCal, so it keeps us really connected, once a week. It's going to be a few times a week now with some of these other concepts we have coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. And we visit often down in SoCal, and I know we've already discussed some stuff going forward. I think we have a couple different possibilities of doing something live together in the coming weeks also. So we're really excited about that. That's something new as well that we haven't been able to do before. So we're just really excited about that possibility too. That's something else to look forward to, and I will definitely preface that because I'm looking forward to it. So I'm gonna go vertical here to put something out of reach of a small child.
That's smart.
But hey, got to get the equipment of raising the desk. So
Yeah,
okay,
for sure.
yeah,
But
no, just
yeah,
carbs. Okay.
no, yeah, so that's what we have for today's episode. Please, subscribe to our channel, like our post, please leave comments. Like Tim mentioned, you ever want us to talk about something, you want to join, you comment on our YouTube page. We have our Instagrams, TikToks, we post a lot of shorts there as well. You can follow those pages, comment, message us on there. If you want to have more one-on-one conversations of how this would go. But yeah, like I said, we're just excited. Everybody that's been listening, following us, supporting us, we really appreciate it. We thank you guys. This couldn't be done without, we don't have many subscribers, but those subscribers that we do have, we appreciate it. And everybody that's just supporting us on this journey.
Yeah, I agree to that sentiment. And the biggest thing that I think we've both read up on is certainly consistency. And I think just the sheer enjoyment that we have for doing this, consistency is honestly going to be the easiest thing. So, I'm again, I can't say it enough. thrilled to be here with you, John.
Yep,
Thank you
same.
guys so much for the endless support, just watching us and
Yeah.
just engaging in general. We're always thrilled to see some type of commentary and advice.
Yeah,
So
no, for sure. But yeah, thank you, everybody. Have a great week. Hopefully you guys enjoy the episode, and we'll see you guys next week. All right. Have a good day. Peace.
peace. Thank you.